Good morning, everyone, or evening, or whatever time you actually happen to be listening to this thing. This is the Digitally Uploaded podcast. I'm Matt Sainsbury, the editor-in-chief of digitallydownloaded.net, and with me this week we have Alan.
Hello.
And Ginny.
Good morning slash good night.
So this is the first time that Alan and Ginny have actually been on the podcast together. This should be interesting. Don't fight, you two.
See, you say that now. However, there will be one thing we're just not going to agree on, and I'm waiting for it to be really, really petty.
I feel it.
What's on you? What's new about that, Alan? You disagree with everyone and everything.
Oh, I know. It's all I have left.
Was some music from IA, not Miku as usual this week. The reason that I've chosen that is actually IA did a concert in Melbourne last night and it was pretty cool. I wasn't there. I was really pissed off that no one flew me down. But yeah, everybody had a good time. It's good to see Vocaloids in Australia. Okay, so this week, what happened this week? Mass Effect came out, and Mass Effect came out.
what an exciting time to be alive. What an adventure.
Well, let's just say, I mean, everybody's kind of new into the game, unless you were a critic that got it early, obviously. We weren't, but I've got a little bit of playtime on it now. A lot of other people had a little bit of playtime on it now. And I think it's fair to say that in a month that brought us Nier and even Horizon and all these other cool games, and with Persona 5 on the horizon, Mass Effect is going to disappear and not be remembered pretty quickly, which is unfortunate given how popular and well-regarded the original trilogy was. If you've been online on Twitter or on Facebook or on anywhere on the internet at any stage, you probably know that the animation is the bit that upsets people the most.
It's quite blatant. It's not. Yeah. It's not like one thing. It's like a whole lot of things that honestly shouldn't be in a final product.
I was trying to find a nice way to introduce it, but really it's not. It's not up to any kind of standard. I won't say it's like free range, whatever that game was that I played.
Skylight free range, Gatchet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Why do I remember the name of that?
I won't say it was quite that bad, but you know, it's closer to that than it probably should be.
That is setting the bar really low, just putting it out there. That's like an incredibly low standard for Mass Effect to me.
Yeah, but see, we live in a world now where there's a full-on crab walk. Like, just straight-up crab walk. And that's a part of a game that costs $100 Australian dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it here. I don't spend a lot of time in the character creator thing usually with games, because I usually just kind of pick something that looks kind of good from, you know, the quick settings. But with this one, I spent a bloody long time trying to make a character that wasn't hideously ugly. And I didn't actually succeed in the end. I kind of gave up, and now my character is this really weird looking person with bad eyes. But
I don't know if you've seen it, Matt, but have you seen the Reddit subthread that is literally just Share Your Rider, which is a dedicated subreddit to help you find a rider that doesn't look like he makes you want to throw up?
I haven't actually like seen these, that.
They give you all the sliders. They give you all the slider information so you can make a rider that doesn't look like an abomination from Bloodborne.
Yeah, see, I tried that out. I was like, this is fine. And then, like, when you meet your father, they mash up you and your brother, and your father looks completely awful. Like, you could have a normal-looking brother and sister. And then, my dad took off his helmet for the first time, and I was like, who are you? Where did you come from?
Not Earth.
It's... Yeah.
It's so bad. It is awful.
No, the twist isn't you would be Andromeda Galaxy the entire time along.
Maybe it's some kind of twist, and these people aren't actually human at all. They're some kind of human-ish looking alien that snuck on board or something. That could be the big plot twist. We could be getting there. but yeah, I mean, The weird thing is, like, I'm not a person that usually cares so much about the graphics and stuff. I, as everybody knows, I'm right into story, and I've got a very high tolerance for stuff as long as the story's really good. As somebody who played the earlier Drakengard and Nier games and absolutely love them, that's kind of, you know, just how tolerant I am for stuff. But this one really is that bad that the... It's just distracting. Like, I'm having real difficulty getting into the story because I'm just like, these people are really weird, and I'm too busy noticing the weird eye movements and the really awkward walking and all this stuff, and I'm just not getting into the actual story at the moment, which is, yeah, that's the real problem, I think, that the game faces.
Would you say, Matt, that your face is tired? I cannot believe that scene's in the game. I think also an important thing to note is that it's not just the animations. It's like some of the voice acting is just not good, like aggressively not good, and the writing is cringe at best.
There's like aggressive pausing in the game between dialogue, and then there's just awkward silence where all of the characters are standing around, but they can't look each other in the eye. They're looking at something in the distance, and then just silence, and they're all standing, like, they're all standing around you in a prayer circle. No one's looking at anything else in particular, and there's just some awkward silence.
I could possibly get along with, I think the story itself has ideas. Again, I'm not that far into it, but I think there's something in there that could have been, if it was executed well, it would have been, you know, quality. But yeah, the voice acting's poor. As somebody who had such a mega crush on the Turians, thanks to Garrus being like the coolest voice guy ever, the Turians in this one are just weird alien like voices that have been pushed through a synthesizer. And yeah, it's a train wreck. Like, and the cherry on the cake is, like, I got to this scene early on and there's like Salarians around, and I don't really like Salarians, but okay, whatever. You know, some proper people probably
wow.
do.
Okay.
So
no.
yeah, so okay. they have to, so they have to keep them in the game. Okay, fine, I accept this. And then there's like this Salarian saying, oh, well, the Quarians aren't actually around. They've been delayed. They might not turn up at all. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, the Quarians? How does Mass Effect not put Tali back into the game? That's just, BioWare's just so out of touch with the people. They just don't understand, you know, what people want. Should have reversed it around, put the Quarians in and the Salarians can be, you know, delayed. No one likes Salarians. They're terrible.
Okay, wow, okay, I like Salarians, but that's fine.
Alan, why? Said, why are you doing this to me?
This is the one topic point where I have to be against you in everything. Because as much as I enjoy like dealing with Quarians, the Salarians are great, and they had the best character in the game. Because of Morden and like number 2 and 3 and yeah, and the I feel like the entire game missed the point of what makes Mass Effect good and sort of focused on weird things like making it more shootery.
Yeah, and
I don't like that because that's what 3 did, and that's why I didn't like 3.
I mean, I liked 3, but I think 3 was good for stuff that isn't in Andromeda either at the moment. Again, I'm only, you know, a dozen hours or whatever into it, but the enemies in this one certainly don't have the presence that the Reapers did. The Ket or whatever the hell they're called. They're just like alien things that look like they were on the cutting room floor from the previous Mass Effect series. So yeah, I'm not sure about how they're going to turn out. And there's just that, it just lacks, I think, like you said, everything that kind of made the original Mass Effect so compelling, despite flaws in each of the games, that you could easily overlook the flaws. You just can't overlook the flaws in Andromeda at the moment. I think that's the problem.
It's really sad as well, because there's a lot of time and a lot of effort that's obviously gone into this game, and it's just not up to the standard of, you know, Nier, of Zelda, and of Horizon. Like, it's just, it's going to be forgotten. And that's really sad.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they shouldn't have released it after Nier.
I don't think any game should be released after Nier.
maybe we're going to be saying the same thing about Persona 5 in a couple of weeks' time. Because
no,
it's like,
the world's greatest.
You know, if it was released before Nier, maybe. But this is a post-Nier world, so
it's the new like BC AD post-Nier and pre-Nier.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say though, every day that Persona 5 gets closer, I get a little bit more excited, because I found out today that my pre-order hadn't been cancelled, and that I was still getting the most like ridiculous, huge package thing in the world, and got very, very excited. I'm so keen. I have absolutely no words. And I've realized I'm bringing this back to Persona, because I always do this on every podcast I'm on.
That's
seriously
fine.
Like, it's been almost like a year now since we started these podcasts, and I still bring it back to P5. I still do it.
Well, at least P5 doesn't have weird human crab walking things.
Oh, I hope that it does. I absolutely want it to. I want Morgana to make a reference to it. No. Delay the game. It's okay. Just put it in there.
I was going to say, they're going to delay the game another couple of weeks just to throw some Mass Effect references in there. From one of the earlier Mass Effect games, which, well, that was when they were good. So play that one instead of Andromeda if you haven't, for whatever reason, played the original trilogy. And then don't play Andromeda. Okay, so moving on from that. talking about something completely different, we'll talk about handheld gaming, actually, or portable gaming, to be more precise. I did a bit of an experiment last week. I took my Nintendo Switch on the train for the first time. First time I've kind of taken it out the house and used it as a proper portable console. And as controversial as this might be, I don't think it's particularly good for an out-and-about mobile gaming device. I think it's a portable console in the sense that I play it away from the TV at home, and that's kind of the way I play the Nintendo Switch. But in terms of taking it out on trains and buses and you know, to get through meetings when people aren't watching, the everybody does it.
I feel I like how you had Switch to feel, like, justify yourself to me. Like I'm your mom or something. But everyone does it.
Papa Alan.
No. Oh, I'm not sure if I like that.
Guys, get a room. Come on.
Well, I lost my train of thought. No, the Switch isn't very good for that stuff. It's I find it a bit big and bulky for using on the train and whatever, and it doesn't, like, because the screen's quite big, people can watch what you're doing, and I don't really like that either. One of the things I liked about the 3DS and the Vita for handheld, you know, kind of gaming on the go is that you can kind of keep your screen out of people's viewing angles. So yeah, it just continues my mixed feelings about the Switch, I guess, in terms of it's really good console, really good hardware, and it works as a handheld device, but then I don't really feel like I want to take it out again. And that's, you know, on top of everything else, the battery ran out on a train ride to and from Sydney, which for me is, you know, 3 hours tops in total. I was playing Zelda, and Zelda kind of drains the battery really fast compared to other games. But by the same token,
that's not really an excuse when it's a portable console.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when I can, like, use my iPhone for games or whatever, and, it still works all day long on top of, you know, using it for phone calls and emails and stuff while I'm out and about. So, yeah, that was a long introduction, but basically I wanted to chat, you know, with you guys about, you know, when you do go out and about, what kind of gaming stuff do you throw in your bag? Do you play games while you're outside the home? And so on. So, Ginny, I mean, what's your kind of preference for mobile gaming?
My preference is probably now and forever until they make the 3DS obsolete, the 3DS. Mainly because I also play Animal Crossing, and I'm at that stage of playing Animal Crossing for years where it's basically I'm just farming the game now for cool items. Mm-hmm. So when you walk around with the 3DS, you get to collect, you know, like Nintendo coin from steps or whatever. Like, and basically the more you walk, the more like tokens you get, and then you use the tokens to buy in-game fortune cookies to gamble on items. So the only reason basically why I would prefer the 3DS now is just because I need those items in my life. And if I ever stop playing Animal Crossing, I will lose purpose. So it's a bit like it's a hostage situation, you know, like you take care of your town, you have it for years, and now you just can't leave. So that's where I'm at. But I will also, when I'm, you know, when I'm not expecting like a particular heavy day, or like I'm commuting from my place to a mate's place, or, you know, Auckland transport here is awful. Just shout out to any New Zealand listeners. You all know what I mean when I say Auckland transport is awful. But I could spend up to like over an hour and a half commuting on a train/bus, sometimes even 3 hours on a bus if it's particularly dire. So in that case, I actually would prefer to just play a game on the Vita. It might just be because I own mostly RPGs on the 3DS, but I just feel like if I'm going to be stopping and starting, and it's like a motion sick super easily, which is really awful. Anything with like lots of running around is just like a no-go for me. Mm-hmm. So I prefer to play games that I have on my Vita, games that are maybe more text heavy, games that are a bit slower, like, you know, like SRPGs are okay. So just bearing in mind my unique situation, I would play more games in the Vita, but bring my 3DS regardless so I can farm those coins and continue being held hostage by my town.
Yeah, I'm completely the opposite of both of you in that I don't really have to travel that far most of the time unless I'm going to like Dandenong for some reason. And why would I go to Dandenong?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why would I do that to myself? I'm just going to start a hate war against Dandenong, apparently. Yeah, like, I don't have to travel very far, so I don't really ever use portable gaming. Also because like I'm a massive, like, I get very easily worried about these sorts of things because I'm like, I'm not clumsy, but I have the awareness of something might happen to my consoles and they might explode for some reason, and I get really, really afraid of that.
I was a bit like that with the Vita. I stopped using it out and about because I was worried about those little control nubs.
Like
I didn't want them to get damaged and stuff. And the screen, I really can't stand scratch screens. Like if my iPhone or iPad gets a scratch screen, that's it. I've got to go and buy a new one. I'm kind of OCD about that. So yeah, the 3DS was the kind of, is a good console to take around for me as well because it has that clamshell design. So even if it gets scratches on the surface, the screens themselves are cool.
Also, I find that I don't like the design of most handheld games because they're usually meant to be taken in like small chunks, and I get that. But also, I just want like something that I can like get into and just not stop for a while, which is why P4 was so good on Vita. One of the four Vita games that exist.
Alan.
No, I love the Vita, but there's four games on it.
Alan, you just need to have a higher... You need to play more Japanese booby anime JRPGs.
Yeah,
don't play enough of them. That's your problem. That's your problem.
I don't play any of them.
If you play Conception, you'd be up to five games. You know, I'm just saying.
Oh, I probably won't play Conception.
Conception's a great game.
Yeah, haven't exactly. Heard about
that one for that's a really good game.
I was just waiting for that to come up. In my defense, six games. It is now mostly just my PS1 console at this point in my life. Because I bought all the Crash Bandicoot games for like $3 on the sale at the moment. It's so good. It's like the best thing on the Vita right now is PS1 stuff.
Well, that
and there's Tekken 2. Tekken 2 is really, really good.
And there's a portable Final Fantasy machine. It's pretty cool. Like, I've got Final Fantasies 1 through X2 on it, and that's really cool. Like every single one of them,
including Tactics.
Yes,
the best Final Fantasy game apart from X.
Well, and 12. And 13, and Lightning Returns, and 15.
You are so full of controversial opinions. I just
no, it's one of the best games ever made. I really like it. It's like also really, really well made for like portable gaming, which is one of the only portable gaming things I really like because it's just ridiculously hard for no reason. I really like it. It's a really good game. It's better than like 13's nothingness, the aggressive nothingness of 13 and 12, which is just why am I here? And then whatever the hell 15 is. They'll patch it in later. It's fine. Starting flame was, I can hear Matt just like charging up.
Oh, gosh.
Welcome back. That was some music from Nier, because we can't stop playing music from that game. Because of Alan.
Hello.
It's all Alan's fault. He picks the music. Fault. He picks the music.
I pick good music. Come on.
You do. Your taste in Vocaloid music is sublime.
Oh, yeah, of course. I know so much about the Miku.
Yeah, that's right. He's a bigger fan than I am.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of Miku, for the last section in today's podcast, we thought we'd have a bit of a chat about stuff that we collect around our favorite games that aren't, you know, the game itself. So yeah, anybody who's buying, who gets into buying limited editions and stuff like that, ends up with, you know, a house full of junk. You know, collectibles and CDs, music CDs and art books and all that kind of good stuff. So yeah, we thought we'd have a talk about, you know, some of the stuff that we've collected over the years, the kind of games that we are interested or we do feel like we want to have the limited editions for and all that kind of stuff. For me to start, I mean, obviously anybody who knows me knows that I've got like, it's about 40 Hatsune Miku figures now.
Jesus.
It is 40 too. Yeah.
That's 40. Genuinely impressive.
It's a full book case.
Oh, just wait till you hear about my amiibo collection, boys. I'm
sorry. Oh.
yes, the amiibos. Nintendo always takes a good thing and then overdoes it. But yeah, I mean, I've got those. I've also got various art books for various Japanese RPGs that I've bought over the years. And one of the things I like to do when I go to Japan is pick up piano scores for my favorite games. So I've got a whole bunch of Final Fantasy music scores. I've got the piano score for Chocobo Dungeon, which is one of the happiest music soundtracks you'll ever hear. I've got the music score for both Drakengard 3 and Nier, which is cool. They play well on piano, actually. So I guess that's kind of where I like to collect stuff. And then I've got this really ugly-ass skull that was in the box that Ubisoft sent me for Ghost Recon Wildlands. I don't know what I'm going to do with this skull. It's this really big, ugly ceramic skull thing. I'm going to throw it at someone, I think, just to see what it does.
Oh, that's wonderful.
If I ever meet a developer on the game, I'll throw it at them.
Oh Jesus!
Okay.
It's really huge. It's like an actual human sized skull.
Why would they do that? Why would they make a skull?
I don't know. I guess maybe the people that might actually be interested in that kind of trash would actually want that as a collectible. It's just, yeah. Anyway,
what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Where you can buy ceramic skulls with your video games.
Yeah. So, Ginny, what kind of stuff do you collect around your favorite games, and what kind of games inspire you to collect stuff beyond the game itself?
Well, I have in my home when I bought Halo 3.
Stop.
Come on. I think you guys know where this is going, because there was that one single collectible that came with Halo 3 if you bought the Legendary Edition. So I am the proud owner of a Master Chief helmet and accompanying stand.
That is so cool.
I'm glad someone appreciates.
No, that it's really cool.
I am into Halo. So yeah, at the time it came with the Legendary Edition, and so me and my brother were like fanatical about Halo back in the day. Like, read the books, everything, love them. I still love the games to this day. I don't really like the path that they've taken, so I'm not really gonna play Halo Wars 2 or anything like that. But from, you know, original Halo up until Halo 3, Halo ODST was pretty good as well. Tangent aside, when I received that in the mail, it was like the best day of my life. Like, I think I was just blown away, and it's aged quite well over the years. I think nowadays when I look for merchandise to buy with games, I look for merchandise that looks like it's manufactured well. Cause I mean, you can always go into like a hobby store and get, you know, items like, or like Nendos that are maybe A, not real, B, terrible quality, C, made in China. To go with the games that you like. So I think definitely having the Halo Master Chief helmet, I mean, my first collectible, I think it's made it sort of made a big impact on me in terms of what I look for when I now buy collectibles. Like, I'd rather shell out a lot of money on a really good quality collectible than buy like 50, you know, $10 figures of, you know, X and X character from The Witcher or something. So,
yeah.
No, you don't understand. It's not The Witcher. It's Geraldi from The Woodsman.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. The Witcher, yeah. Geraldi and his like harem of ladies.
And so, his kind of not daughter. Piri.
Yeah, that's a really weird relationship I felt in the game. Like, I feel like they constantly between him and like, I feel like they were like, Geralt and a female model are gonna stand X amount of yards close to each other. But like the whole, you know, having like him and his daughter have these really weird intense eye contact, like squatting in a field moments. I was like, very Slavic, but also a bit inappropriate probably for their relationship.
It's absolutely important in Slavic culture. You must sit in a field and glare at each other. As a descendant of Slavic culture, I can guarantee this is true. It's so very important. It's how you grow up. Like people have like, you know, their 13th birthday or whatever. Instead, in Slavic cultures, we just sort of stare at each other for a while and hope that things work out.
It's like a ceremony. You get like your first tracksuit and then you have to sit in a field with your mates and stare at them.
It is... It's funny you kind of mentioned though that you do buy the kind of limited editions, or you're willing to pay the good money for them, Ginny. Because I guess for me, I don't buy limited editions for games. If I like the game, I'll then go and hunt out kind of merchandise that kind of associate with it. Like I'll buy the soundtrack separately, or the art book, or figures if I like the characters or whatever. But if they were to release, a Hatsune Miku game with a limited edition which had the figure, like a figure in it, I probably wouldn't actually buy that, because I tend to find that they are cheaper. And I'm looking at the skull again and going, I'd rather just buy a real skull. No, actually, I didn't say that.
Okay.
If I was that interested in Wildlands, I'd go out and find...
And buy a skull.
Yeah. No, buy like a figure of the Wildlands character or whatever. Or, yeah,
there's
something.
A Wildlands character?
No, I don't know. I hope not. But it was a bad example. But
favorite character, Beard Man.
I guess what I'm just saying is that I prefer to kind of collect stuff around my favorite games rather than buy a limited edition for some reason. I don't know really why it is, because I know there are some quality limited editions out there, but... Yeah,
Persona 5 Take Your Heart Edition's great. It looks really cool.
Alan's just showing off because he actually is like one of the three people in the world that didn't have their pre-order cancelled for that.
I'm very happy about that. the worst thing was I woke up like the other morning being like, oh, there's news of the Persona 5 pre-orders on Amazon going down. This is not good. I've never been like more panicked in my life. Because I cancelled my pre-order with EB Games because it was like $135 billion. For like a disc and also like a note saying fuck you from EB Games. And yeah, I was like, oh no, please don't let this happen to me. Not again. I need my Morgana plush. And this is the first time I've actually ever bought like a limited edition thing as well. So I was just waiting for it to go horribly, horribly wrong. Just have something just ruin it for everything, and in the future just being like, no. Because I can't. I love these things, but the space is a big issue. And I'm willing to sacrifice most of my room for Persona 5, to be honest. But there's a little bit too much, I fear. It's going to cross the line eventually where I just have, like, the box hanging from my ceiling and like, well, dangling over people's heads.
Persona 5's a pretty good example. Like, I won't be getting the limited edition version of that game, assuming I like it. And I am assuming I do. assuming I like it and assuming I have like a favorite character or something, I will probably go out and like hunt out a figure for my favorite character. Like I've got three resets sitting over there on the shelf.
I'm not surprised. Zona
4. I can see, I can't remember her name, but the blonde girl seems like she'd be my type. Yeah, she seems like she'd be my type, so I'll probably buy like a figure of her if I like the game. I've got the Persona 4 soundtrack. Assuming I like the Persona 5 soundtrack, which I do assume, I'll probably buy that as well and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I just like to collect my things piecemeal after the game if I like the game, because like you say, Alan, space is a bit of an issue, and the one thing I really don't want to do is get a limited edition for a game that I really don't like afterwards.
Especially because then I've got sort of tatty as well.
Yeah, like a skull.
Sort of pre-ordered things. Yeah, like a skull.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will generally try and spend a bit more on the things that I do really want, because I want the Persona 5 art book. I want the selected soundtrack stuff. Like, it's all really, really interesting stuff that I would buy anyway.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of in the same package at the same time, so that when I'm not playing the game, I can be reading about it or listening to the soundtrack, or I could be playing the game, or I could be listening to the soundtrack or reading about it. It's just living that dangerous cycle.
Do you know if it's the full soundtrack, Alan? Or is it...
It's 18 selected tracks.
Selected tracks soundtrack, yeah. That's pretty good. Which like 18 tracks
is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more than I expected, which is always lovely.
Yeah, I mean, the Bravely Default limited edition, which Nintendo actually sent out to me when they were sending out copies of that game. No, Bravely Second, sorry. It had a selected track CD in it, and it was like 6 songs or something, and that's a bit disappointing.
It's not very many. I'd
rather just have the whole CD.
I mean, Bravely Second was on the whole maybe a bit disappointing compared to Bravely Default, but...
The CD is a metaphor for the game.
I don't know. It had Adia. Adia is good. Doesn't matter what she's in. Aww. She should be in more games.
Yeah.
And had the French girl.
Tactics, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The French girl, yeah. God, the name escapes me, but...
I can't remember now. She's just the accent. It's pretty
she
cool.
Had a, yeah, she had a great. She had a great costume.
Yeah, French girl from the moon.
What a character.
That's exactly what she was, French girl from the moon. I know.
See, Alan, you need to play more games that are on handheld consoles, Alan, because you miss out otherwise.
I miss out on French girl from the moon. I mean, how can how can that happen?
And Conception.
I wish there were some figures for Conception.
Mm.
Or stuff. The soundtrack was pretty poor on that game, so I wouldn't care about the soundtrack so much, but... Yeah, I'd certainly like a Fuko figure.
Yeah, if I could get like collectibles of all my wives, that would be ideal.
Yeah. You should play some more games, Alan.
I'm gonna sit here just like quietly, like not understanding anything and wanting to be playing like Rainbow Six Siege or something.
Oh please! If we get to any sort of Rainbow Six or like discussion, I'm just gonna tap out because I know nothing.
No. I will absolutely carry the discussion by myself. I'll just put in a different voice for everyone.
Jesus.
It's like a sock puppet show.
I don't know about Rainbow. I mean, Rainbow Six would probably have like a skull as a collectible as well, because
I actually don't remember. Thing.
But I mean, Overwatch was a big missed opportunity. You should have sent a giant ass like D.Va.
Yeah, exactly.
Overwatch limited edition. That'd be one I'd buy.
Yeah.
You got a hat with the Rainbow Six pre-order.
A hat.
That's pretty cool. You got a hat.
Yeah, Ubisoft might want to reconsider how it does collectibles, I think.
And a carabiner? What? Why?
I think maybe they're just assuming that people that order the game don't have access to like a Kathmandu or something nearby. Like, why would you want a carabiner?
Just a casual Rainbow Six branded carabiner, you know. Oh, sorry guys, I have to go climb using my branded Rainbow Six carabiner so I can siege the wall.
What do they stick in the Assassin's Creed games?
Probably some dumb knife.
Or a carabiner that's branded with Assassin's Creed on it. Right.
The next time you're climbing the Sistine Chapel, get around it.
Thank you.
Bye.